and I just wonder how many of us look at it. I know some of us do, but perhaps we don't fully understand it. It signifies what the Bible says about the word praise and what the word praise means in Hebrew. And then we have all of the descriptions of those words of praise, and they're all found in the Bible, and we have them there: Toda, Yada, Shabak, Zamar, Barak, and Halal, and Tehillah in the middle there. And I really want to be speaking about this morning. I'm just going to move that out of the way, because it really ties in with what I've been trying to do. When Duncan went away, I said, "Well, I'll do something differently for the 3 weeks, the 3 Wednesdays that you're not here. I'll do something different on a Wednesday, and I'll do something on worship, which I've been wanting to do for a long time." And then I suddenly realised that we're so near Christmas, I wasn't going to be able to do it all in the time scale that I had. And so we're going to jump from last Wednesday to today. And we're going to go back, but it doesn't matter, next Wednesday. I'm going to try and complete it on Wednesday. But I just want to give you a little taste of what worship is all about. And as Wendy said, it's not about just singing. It's not all about just praying. But it has so many different facets included in it. And all around the world today, there will be churches meeting. And some will be very quiet. Some will be very quiet, some will be very noisy and halal, some will be zamar, some will be playing instruments today, some won't be. Maybe there's no musicians, but whatever. Some will be todain, they'll be lifting their hands in praise to God. And some will be yadar in this morning, and that will mean to continually praise with open hands. Lord, I'm coming to you, nothing hidden this morning. That's what it means in the Hebrew. It means to come before him. Open hands, open heart. This is, Lord, this is me, this is where I'm at. Lord, just move in my life. Tehillah, described by Miles Monroe, who unfortunately was killed with his wife a few weeks ago in a plane crash. Tehillah described by Miles Monroe is the highest level of praise we can ever get into. It's when God speaks through our spirit and out of us pours those words of life, those words of strength, those words that touch people's lives. And it's when Tehillah praise is going on that it affects the lives of people around us. It's when you hear a word given, a prophetic word, a word given in tongues. It's when Paul and Silas were in the prison and God came into their situation as they prayed and sang songs. And the chains broke free, and they broke free, and the prison fell down. It's that level of praise, that level of relationship with Jesus that we have that breaks down barriers. It's that level where God ministers his word and people say, "That's me. It's me he was talking about. It's me she was sharing about this morning." It's when the Holy Spirit touches inside here. So those are all those Hebrew words. He postures to kneel in awe. It also means also to kneel expectantly, waiting for. When we're sitting, kneeling on the floor, sometimes we all do this at times. But it's not just about kneeling, it's about expecting God to speak, God to do something. You know, it's all right to get down there. You know, in our age now, we want to do something else while we're down there as well. Like, you know, Lord, while I'm down here, is there anything else I can do you know, while I'm here? But there's that expectant heart. You know, let's not just not kneel before him, but let's kneel expectantly. God, speak to me as I'm kneeling here. You know, to shabak, to shout with joy. It doesn't mean a disorderly shout. It means within corporate worship, there's a time for the church to arise and to shout for joy before the Lord. There's a time for that. And over here, halal, to be clamorously foolish. That's where the word hallelujah comes from. To be foolish in God's presence, as it were. But who cares? Lord, you've done so much for me. I don't care what people think. You know, are we over-the-shoulder worshippers today? Are we sort of like, you know, what are they going to think? You know, I think I've gone past that. I'm a very reserved person. But when God moves in my heart, you know, I don't really bother about what the people next to me think or what she thinks, you know, what my wife thinks or, you know, what my husband thinks or what this person or that person thinks. I just want to just do what God has put in my heart. And that's that freedom to be able to worship, to howl, to be foolish. It's a song we used to sing in Rugeley. You know, I never can remember.
I will be even more ridiculous than this.
Or something like that, basically. And in the eyes of the world, we may look ridiculous, but in the eyes of God, we are just being obedient. We've been honest with Him. We are thanking Him for what He's done for us. You see, all of these are expressions of thanks. The Old Testament priests would know exactly what to do when they went into the temple. They knew what it was to toe the Lord. They knew what it was to come in with lifted hands. And they knew what it was to, after perhaps an hour of lifted hands, to push on to the second hour with raised hands. You know what it's like? I remember going once to a medieval night down in Norwich. It was with Chris and Dawn Arnold, it was, when we were in England. And Chris is up for anything. And they said that we'd have a broadsword holding contest. And Chris says to me, I'm up for that. I'll have a go, you know. And Chris is out there with this other guy, and there's this big broadsword, you know, about 6 foot long. And they had to hold it out at straight arm's length for as long as they could. You know, and it took about 30 seconds to test the and Chris is adamant to this day the other guy was cheating. Because he was holding his up slightly, like, you know. But Chris was trying to sort of do this, and you can't hold it for long. And I don't know why I said that, but there was a reason behind it. But you see, God speaks to us in different ways, and we can try and do things in our own strength, but in His strength, we are free to do all of those expressions of worship. Yeah. Let's not be a church at Wellspring that does one. I'm not getting at anybody this morning because I'm as guilty as anybody, and we take the easy way out. It's just nice to raise a hand, or perhaps you don't raise your hand yet. I can remember this man here.
Oh, no.
When I first met him. What? What? Don't raise hands. No, no, no. We're Methodists. We're good Baptists, sorry. So I just checking. You know. We're good Baptists. We are. We don't do any raise hands business. But to see him and Julia and others here over the years being freer and freer and freer in Christ to raise your hands. You know, but let's not just stay with raised hands. We have all of these expressions of worship that the Bible says is lovely and honourable to the Lord. Let's use everything. Let's not just stay in that one place of the hand raising place, or just the kneeling place, or the quiet kneeling waiting place. But let's have some hallelujah place, you know, and let's have some clamorously foolish places before God. In order, listen to me, I'm not saying in disorder, honouring to the Lord. Let's use everything we have at our disposal today. We can get so entrenched in our way that we do it. We don't, you know, of course the Baptists are the worst, you know, that way, don't you? You know, you can't move the piano an inch unless the Baptists will find out about it and they'll move it back again. Yeah. I'm only joking.
Yeah,
but no, but we're like that. Some of the Pentecostal churches are exactly the same. They like the piano a certain way. Like the light shining in a certain direction. And we all can be like that. Wellspring can be like that. We can be traditional. We can do things. That's why I'm doing it different today. I'm speaking before the worship today. You know, let's not get stuck in those ways where we have to do it, because we've always done it that way. And sometimes God wants us to be like that. He wants us to be available to respond to Him in worship that's different to the norm. You know, and I want to just try and get across to you this morning, there are many norms before the Lord. You know, everything is okay for Him, within reason. And I just, you know, we've got a bunch of them on there. I'm going to put it back again afterwards. And I hope, like, in future, you'll perhaps take a bit more notice on it and say, what posture can I adopt today? No, I don't want you to do that. I want to say, when you're in worship, I want you to say to the Lord, Lord, just help me today to worship You in a way You want me to worship You. And that may be quiet. It may be silent, it may be without a word, it may be just pouring your heart out internally to the Lord. It may be exuberant praise. You know, I'm not saying that every day, you know, each week we should be a halal week, and the next week is going to be a shabak week, and the next week's going to be a todah week, and the next week's going to be a yada week, and another week's going to be a tehillah week. I'm not saying that. I'm saying we have all of these expressions of worship that are pleasing to the Father. Let's just not restrict ourselves to just one way. Let's not be blinkered into this is how we've always done it, this is how I will always do it. Because I tell you not, now when we get to heaven, it's going to be different. There'll be all sorts of things going on there. All sorts of things that are pleasing to the Lord. And on last Wednesday we looked at one of the kings, Josiah, and all of the stuff that Josiah had to do to bring Israel, bring the nation back to God. He started to clear the temple out and found scripture. And that scripture then was to change this young king's life and it would bring the whole nation back. But whoa, boy, what he had to do. He had to overthrow all of the idols, all of the stuff in the land. And he went from place to place. And he not only destroyed them and burnt them, but the idols of stone, he says in the scripture, he ground them to dust. He ground them to dust. He desecrated the altars of the heathen gods with the bones of those that had gone before. Total, they could never use those places again. Those that idol worship, they could never use it. He knew what to do and did it to bring his nation back to that place where God ruled in his life. But you see, we don't have to do that. And praise God, we don't have to do it that way because Jesus has done it on Calvary. Jesus has paid the price. His grace is sufficient. We sang about it. We spoke about it in the pre-service prayer this morning. His grace is sufficient to lead us through. We don't need to do all of this stuff. We just need to come before him, to receive him into our lives, and he makes us able to get into that place of precious closeness to him, so that we can express ourselves in all of these ways. For Josiah the king in the Old Testament to become right, he had to do all sorts of works to do it. And now Jesus has taken away the need for works. It's nothing about us, it's about what he's done, not what we do or feel we have to do. Yeah, we do all sorts of things, but being able to come into his presence is something he's done for us, and he enables us to do that. Our praise should be from our hearts. I want to just read you a psalm this morning. You know, it's you remember the story about the man who found treasure in a field, and he sold all he had and went and bought the field so he could claim the treasure. Yeah, I felt like that. You know, something's happened in my life, and I think, you know, it's rare that anything really sort of really touches my heart in this way, but this new translation of scripture, the Passion Translation, has been like that. It's revitalized my Bible reading, it's revitalized my prayer life and everything. This new translation of the Bible called the Passion Translation. And I'll read it, some of it to you this morning. It's set a fire burning in my heart all over again. You know, because it's brought God's word into me who is so into worship. And this is a worshipful way of actually translating scripture. I want to just read you Psalm 100 this morning. Just as we kick off here. It says it's a poetic song for thanksgiving. And I think the key to all of this is found in this psalm. Let's read it. Psalm 100. And it says these words. It says, "Lift up a great shout of joy to the Lord. Go ahead and do it. Everyone, everywhere, as you serve him, bring your gift of laughter. And be glad as you worship him. Sing your way into his presence with joy and realize what this really means. We have the privilege of worshiping the Lord our God, for he is our creator, and now we belong to him. We are the people of his pleasure. Verse 4, you can pass through his open gates with the password of praise." That got me thinking, what is this password of praise? What is it? And I believe myself, it comes right in the next part of this verse, in this translation. It says, you can pass through his open gates with the password of praise, come right into his presence with thanksgiving. That's the key. That's the key. That's the password to entering into all of this. Hearts that are full of thanks to him. Full of glory to him. Full of praise to him who's done so much for us. Come right into his presence with thanksgiving. Come, bring your thank offering to him and affectionately bless his beautiful name. For the Lord is always good and ready to receive you. He's so loving that it will amaze you. So kind, it will astound you. And he is famous for his faithfulness towards all. Everyone knows our God can be trusted, for he keeps his promises to every generation. What a lovely psalm that is. What a lovely take on who our God is and how he loves us to worship him. And I want to read you a psalm for Sunday as well, if I can find it. Psalm for Sunday, Psalm 92, again out of the Passion Translation. This is a poetic praise song for the day of worship. That's where we're at today. This is our day. And it starts this verse 1. It says, it's so enjoyable to come before you, Lord, with uncontainable praises spilling from our hearts. How we love to sing our praises over and over to you, to the matchless God, high and exalted above all. At each and every sunrise, we will be thanking you for your kindness and your love. As the sun sets and all through the night, we will keep proclaiming, you are so faithful. Melodies of praise will fill the air, and as every musical instrument joined with every heart overflows with worship. No wonder I'm so glad I can't keep it in. Lord, I'm shouting with glee over all that you've done, for you've done it for me. What mighty miracles and your power at work, just to name a few. Depths of purpose and layers of meaning saturate everything you do. Such amazing mysteries found within every miracle that nearly everyone seems to miss. Those with no discernment can never really discover the deep and glorious secrets hidden in your ways. And it goes on and on and on like that. What a beautiful way to start our Sunday, to come to his house with thanksgiving into his hearts. And I'm just going to work my way forward just a few psalms this morning, and just to really bless you this morning. Psalm 95 verse 1, he says this, come on everyone. Let's sing for joy to the Lord. Let's shout our loudest praises to our God who saved us. And then the end of verse 2. Make him great by your shouts of joy. And verse 6. Come and kneel before this Creator God. Come and bow before the mighty God, our majestic Maker. Psalm 96 verse 1. Go ahead, sing your new song to the Lord, the Tehillah song, the song of the Spirit, which comes out of our relationship with him. As the Holy Spirit moves in our hearts, out comes a new song. It's an unheard of song. It's not a song we've learned. It's a spontaneous song of excitement in our hearts to the Lord. That's where it comes from. Go ahead, sing your new song to the Lord. Let everyone in every language sing him a new song. Don't stop. Keep on singing. Make his name famous. Tell everyone every day how wonderful he is. Give them the good news of our great Saviour. Take the message of his glory and miracles to every nation. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful words. Psalm 98. Go ahead. Here we are again. Sing your brand new song to the Lord. Sing the song of your heart. Sing what he's done for you today. Thank him for what he's done for you today. He is famous for his miracles and his marvels. Thank him in song. You know, sing a song. Don't have to sing it in tongues or a funny language. Sing it in your heart. You know, just as you pray. Be different. Sing it rather than say it. And verse 4 of Psalm 98 says, so go ahead, everyone, and shout out your praises with joy. Break out of the box and let loose with the most joyous sounds of praise. Sing your melody of praise to the Lord and make music like never before. Blow those trumpets and shofars. Shout with joyous triumph before King Yahweh. Let the ocean waves joy. Even the ocean. You know, the scripture talks about the trees of the field. You know, shall wave. The oceans. What wonderful poetic visual language the psalmist is using here. That even the waves of the sea, you know, we can't hear it today, but there's some days we can. Let the ocean waves join in the chorus with their roaring praise until everyone, everywhere, shouts in unison, in unity, glory to the Lord. Let the rivers and streams clap with applause, and the mountains rise in a standing ovation to join the mighty choir of exaltation. Praise God. Psalm 99, verse 5. So everyone, exalt the Lord our God, face down before his glory throne, for he is great and holy. And the very last part of that psalm, verse 9. Keep exalting the Lord our God, face down before his glory throne, for he is great and he is holy. Praise God. You know, preparation for worship. How do we prepare for worship? Psalm 24, 3 and 4 says, you know, we need to have clean hands and a pure heart. In Jesus, we have those things this morning. You know, yes, we can mess up. But all we have to do is say, Father, I've messed up. Set me right again. I want to come into your presence this morning with clean hands and a pure heart. You know, don't come and fester. Come and just be clean before the Lord. Oh, he couldn't. I've done something. It doesn't matter what you've done. Come into his presence. He's given us that ability. Who can ascend the hill of the Lord with everyone with clean hands and a pure heart? And God gives us that through Jesus at the cross of Calvary. He did that for us. Whether you know it or not, whether you fully understand it or not, it's a done deal. Amen. As Dave Dweller would say, it's a done deal. He's done it for you. You know, and just receive it this morning. And just know that it's, you know, as it's as easy as that to get yourself right with God. To come to him and say, Lord, I'm sorry. You know, I gave my life to you so many years ago and I've messed up. I'm sorry. Put me back on track. Because I want to worship you like this. I want to be free to kneel before you. With expectant heart, expecting you to speak to me. Preparation for worship. God has made us a way. Jesus made us clean at the cross. He has enabled us to enter his holy place. Within the veil, I now can come into the holy place and see him face to face. I see such beauty there. None other can compare. You know, we're invited to come within the veil. We're invited to come as 2015 nearly Christians, to come into that place that only the priest of the Old Testament was allowed to go into. He says, come into here. Jesus made a way. Tore down the old way and made a new way for us to come into that place. But we have a responsibility to walk. And Sharon said it so beautifully. She prayed this morning that, you know, that it's a grace way. You know, he's provided a way of grace. That in so much of all the stuff we have going on in our lives, we still have a way of grace that we can come in to this beautiful place and be close to him. Holy Spirit will enable us to walk the walk and stay in that place of readiness for worship. So in all circumstances, as Paul says, in everything that's going on in my life, you know, Paul was content with what he had. Content with his lot. You know, it may have bad days, it may have good days, but it was always a God day. Bad days and good days, but every day was a God day because he had that relationship with his God. He was content in it. You know, and I believe that Christian character is produced by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit just produces our character. It just shows us who we really are, you know, and it's just lovely. Acceptable worship this morning is everything and anything that we do say that blesses the Lord God. It's not just about singing. It's about what we do. It's about reaching out. It's about loving other people. It's about touching other people's lives. It's about speaking that word. It's about giving that hope. It's about all this thing. If you're doing it for Jesus, not doing it for your own glory, not doing it because, like, I'm going to get a brownie point, I'm going to get a house point and a star for this. It's saying, I do it out of my love I have for Jesus and the love that he's poured in me. This is why I do all of this. Praise God. You know, I just want to just encourage you this morning around all of these postures of praise They're all available for you. Yeah, all available for you. Don't be frightened of them. So many people are frightened because they're different. You know, so whether we're clapping our hands, you know, it's scriptural for Psalm 47, 1 says, clap your hands, all you people. Shout to God. With a voice of triumph, some versions say, shout to God with loud songs of joy. You know, you're reading others, you're reading the book of Ezra, it talks about the drums and it talks about the noise that was made as the Jews came to celebrate at their festivals. Horrendous noises, you know, it was really in your face. I know some of us struggle, you know, and I struggle sometimes with really loud things. But, you know, it was like, so that it was an expression of joy to the Lord. So clapping, you know, singing loud songs with loud instruments, you know, that's okay. In its purpose and its time that God has for it. Psalm 134 verse 2 says, lift up your hands to the holy place and bless the Lord. You know, lifting up our hands is acceptable. You know, it's not something just one or two of us does, because we've always done it. It's something that's available for all of us to partake in. It's no big deal. You know, and it and as I said, don't be an over the shoulder worshipper. You know, don't be looking at what other people are doing, but just be content to say, Lord, I'm offering myself as a sacrifice this morning. I offer my body to you, you know, that just I want to just praise you whatever way that I sense in my heart is acceptable to you this morning. You know, and I'm sure God will lead you. He won't take you into any weird and wonderful thing. He will just say, you know, it'll be so beautiful. You know, when you step out and do things, it blesses other people. It's all about us. You know, when we make a move and when God nudges us to do it, it not only does it bless us and bless the Father's heart, it blesses other people around. Wow, I've never seen him or her do that before. That was lovely. Did he not see that? Did he not sense that special presence of God this morning when he was moving in that? You know, people talk about it and say, wow, you know, what a change. What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. And, you know, and I look upon this as a daily walk. You know, that what a change he makes in this. It's day by day, day by day. It's living that life, walking that walk, getting close to the Father. Psalm 149 verse 3 talks about, let them praise his name with dancing, making melody to him with the timbrel and the lyre. Dance, make music. Psalm 95 verse 6, oh come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before God, our Maker. Psalm 62, 1, for God alone my soul waits in silence, for him to come. From him comes my salvation. Hebrews 4, 16, let's be bold and confident as we enter into the Lord's presence. You know, boldness, confidence, you know, it's not about us. It's about him, and he will give us the boldness. His Holy Spirit will give us the confidence to break out. You know, our praise should be praises from our hearts to him. Our worship should be worship from our hearts to him. We can't worship and praise on behalf of other people. We're only up for what we have. You know, I would like to see everybody, you know, freed up completely, but I can only be concerned really about how I am, how my life is, and how I worship. Oh, you know, Paul talks about it. Oh, that this, oh, that everybody, and my heart's the same. Oh, that we all would do this, you know. But now I will show you a better way. You know, and there is that better way before the Lord. But you know, we can't worship for each other. It's a personal thing with us. And let's not decry somebody who's being quiet in God's presence. Let's not decry somebody on the opposite end of the scale who's leaping and dancing and praising God. I was like that. I was guilty of that. I thought, God, crikey, there's no need for this. You know, what's all this about? But, you know, let's not hinder what God wants to do. Let's not hinder what the Holy Spirit wants to do in our hearts. So we need to be sacrificial in our praise and worship. We need to offer our bodies, Romans 12 verse 1, we need to offer our bodies as living sacrifices to God. Let's give more of our time, effort and energy into our worship. Just as Jesus gave all for us, we need to give something until it hurts sometimes. You know, sometimes you say, "Love what? Dance?" I say that because it's something I really struggle with. You know, dance? But you look at the Israeli nation. They are the singingest, dancingest, beating, rhythmic nation on earth. You know, there's something about it. You know, they love to dance. And David did when he brought the ark back into Jerusalem. He danced before the Lord. God, you know, I'm not going to do what he did and strip off to my loincloth this morning. But you'll all be very pleased about that. But that's what he did. You know, he freed himself. You know, and sometimes, folks, we need to free ourselves of that that holds us back so that we can worship him in spirit and truth. Let go of some of the stuff, some of the traditional things that we do, and worship him. We need to encourage one another. You know, God wants a body ministry here to strengthen his church. God needs every one of us to play our part, not just a few. If one of us, the Bible says, can put 1,000 to flight, two of us can send the legions fleeing. Well, what can we do here this morning? You know, God changed the world through 12. You know, let's not belittle what God has done in our hearts. If he can do that with 12 and one who betrayed him, you know, what can he do with us, this little group meeting here today? Amazing things are possible with him. Let's be sacrificial as we offer him a sacrifice of praise. We need to encourage each other. We need each other. We need each other so very much. You know, and often we crush the blessing that God wants to give by stifling the gifts that he has to share with us, his church. Let's be open to him. You know, I just think about that day when the Holy Spirit came in Acts 2, when they were all in the temple, and the Holy Spirit came and they all started speaking in tongues. You see, all of these folks that were there, they were there for the festival. They were there to do their thing, and you know, and suddenly they come into the sort of outer court area, and there was all of these people babbling away in languages they'd never heard before, and some heard, "Oh, hang on, he's speaking in my language, and she's doing this," and suddenly, you know, their whole world changed that day, and 3,000 lives were changed because they came to a place where the Holy Spirit had taken over. You know, let's not be frightened of what the Holy Spirit does, but let's say, wow, this great growth and strength comes out of a move of God's Holy Spirit upon his church. It starts here. It starts in our life, in my life, in your life. And it's infectious. It comes through our church. Let's be thanking him for everything. Thanksgiving, as I said, I believe, is the key. Ephesians 5, I'm going to finish with this. Ephesians 5, 18 to 20. I can't really read it here now, but it talks about coming before him. It's a bit that says that don't be drunk with new wine. You know, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. You know, come together, speaking to each other in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in my heart, in our hearts to the Lord. And then it says the same in Colossians 3, 12 to 16. Psalms and hymns and songs of the Spirit. When we come together, it says, come together with these things. Come together with the psalms that we read. Come together with the hymns and the songs that we sing. But let's come together with the new song of the Spirit that God wants to pour out. Let's come with that. Let's come prepared to share, prepared to give as God moves on us and in our lives. We need to realize that God is here. We bring him with us. You know, he's not afar off, and we call him to come. Will you please come today? He's here before we arrive on a Sunday morning saying, will you please bring me with you? You know, I'm waiting. I'm waiting to meet up with you today. I'm waiting for you to spend time in my presence this morning. Praise God. We need to realize that God is here. So I encourage you, church, this morning, come sacrificially. Come prepared to give of your heart. Come prepared not to be restrictive to what God wants to do, but to flow as he flows. And how do we know he's flowing? We will sense it and we will know it. Every one of us who has a relationship with Jesus will know it. And when God just prompts you, just share what God's put in your heart. It may be just a word. You say, you get up off your feet and say, God, I thank you for today. If there's nothing else I can say, I thank you from the bottom of my heart. I tell you what, that could be the dozen words that sets your heart free for the rest of your life. You know, sometimes it's just stepping over the threshold of where we've already been. I remember a guy once in the church, he invited people to come to Christ, and he just drew along the floor an imaginary line with his foot. And he says, there's the line this morning. He says, you know, I dare any of you there to come and step over this line with me. And he stood right back, you know, and it just broke my heart to see, you know, so many people come. You know, and they looked for the line. It wasn't a line, but in their mind's eye, they could see the line because that's the line they'd always drawn. And then to see one by one the people pour over this side. And in the end, there was more people standing on his side of the line than there was sat in the chairs or standing in the seats. There's hundreds of people stepped over the line that day. You know, I don't know how their lives went from there on, but there was a decision made that day to move on with God. And our prayer this morning for us as a church, us as individuals, as we enter this new year, you know, we can achieve so much more in 2015 if our hearts are so in tune with what God wants to do. And I just encourage you, like, you know, you may be just one step away. I may be one step away from major breakthrough in my life. You may be one step away from major breakthrough in your life to be in that place where God will use you and multiply your gifts to be a glory to Him.